பணிகின்றோம், உங்கள் கனவுகளில் எமதாக்கி தொடர்கின்றோம்.
Welcome to 97.5, and this is GT Brian, and today on a special edition, we are having a very special edition in Tango this Friday, and we have two special guests in the house. We have them to introduce themselves right about now, and we have our first guest. So sir, you're going to tell us about today, the special event, the special program. Tell us about yourself and tell us about the program.
Thank you, Mr. GT. Thank you for the very, very warm welcome. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your studio today. And I'm looking extremely excited. I'm extremely excited for today's discussion. My name is Brian Tatenda Madziba. Just completed my Master's of Law at the University of Zurich. I'm presently in the process of pursuing my PhD with the Technical University of Munich. I am with my colleague from the Technical University of Munich, Wayne.
So the one and only Mr. Wayne, so can you introduce yourself and tell us about your career? Mr. Brian just told us, so we want to pretend like we don't know you, so tell us about yourself today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, guys. My name is Wayne Tembani Chinembiri, and I'm Zimbabwean, born and raised in Bulawayo, Guntuthuziyathunqa, for those of us who know where that is. But it's really close to the Victoria Falls, one of the seven wonders of the world. And so I studied with Brian at the Midland State University. We studied law together. and I studied in Stellenbosch afterwards, one of the best, if not the best university in South Africa. I did a master's in intellectual property law, and then I found my way here to Europe. Currently, I'm employed as a research associate, also doing my PhD in patent law. I had the opportunity to work for Ericsson as well, and we're promoting cellular standards, you know, 3G, 4G, 5G, and how this can turn Africa into the next El Dorado.
Wow.
Yeah, so
that's really excellent, because like, so
thank you so much for having me, GT.
How was your time in Ericsson? Did you enjoy it, and is it something that is pleasurable? Is it something you would like to go back to? Because like, from what you said, you were at the Technical University in Munich. So what's your plan after you're done with Munich also?
That's a great question, GT. I mean, I believe I'm still young. I just turned 30.
That's what
happy
you
birthday.
Think?
That's
what thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, I just turned 30, and I don't know if I should be, you know, still in school or on a yacht or skydiving. But I mean, I suppose this is in the future.
Yeah.
But what I will say is that I absolutely loved my time at Ericsson.
Mm-hmm.
Ericsson is a technology company, so they've been involved with promoting communication since 1875.
Yeah.
During the time that we had telegrams,
yeah, okay,
and stuff. And right now, I will let you know that Ericsson is currently working on 6G,
wow,
which will be 100 times faster than 5G.
Okay.
And this is set to launch in 2030.
Okay.
And so we're just like trying to promote the importance of intellectual property, the importance of research and development, mm, towards making our world more comfortable for all of us.
You talked about 6G, just a follow-up question, and one thing I want to ask, you know, in Africa, per se, this is like where you come from and where, you know, mm, we all come from, and also those listening. Africans don't believe in some, they're not all though, some people don't believe in 5G. You know, when 5G came up, there was this like perception that it had a spiritual underpinning to it. So what did you say about this, per se?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, GT, man, I have to say that we live in this time of fake news. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got
like
a lot
Donald
of...
Donald Trump was it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, DT.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, man, we live in this time where there's so much fake news and we don't know what to believe. But I will set the record straight.
Okay.
5G does not spread corona. 5G mm-hmm. does not cause anything. 5G... Mm-hmm. is just a network that your cell phone or any mobile or technological mm-hmm. device uses in order to communicate with other devices mm-hmm. that implement the same technology.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot like 3G that we used for texting messages, 4G that we used to watch videos on YouTube and watch people's WhatsApp statuses.
I think mm-hmm. the key difference is it's way more faster. Like you can do...
Yeah.
Things like, I hear that in really developed countries, instead of doctors doing the surgeries, now
yes.
robots are being used to do the surgery mm. with a doctor in a very remote place.
Yeah.
It's
yes.
like in real time. You can
yeah.
imagine a robot operating you and
mm-hmm.
they're being... So, yeah, that's 5G.
Yeah, that's this is like technology. And you talked about this advancement and, you know, with the use of, you know, technology is coming and it's overtaking. I mean, it also... this last the debate on this new platform ChatGPT that just came out,
mm-hmm.
bro. I'm like, man, if this should continue, this is so like, you know, ChatGPT just for lawyers, you know, when you do a legal research, what you would take a week to do ChatGPT gives you a result.
I know, right?
These are cases you would never believe you can find.
Amazing.
I'm telling you, judgments and cases you would never believe you can find. You know, talking about, let me say, you want to talk about, like you talk about, let me say, internet law or it has to do with intellectual property, and you want a case, just give me something on the intellectual property in this particular jurisdiction. When you impute the information, it gives you a result, and then
mm-hmm.
you go to read that case.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So it's really interesting. So, Mr. Mazibaba, back to you. So what's your plan with Mr. Wayne Asturias' plan after he said he's young? He still wants to explore, you know, see the things, see the ladies, you know. Now he's, he wants to use his status to intimidate, hey, I'm Dr. Wayne. Hey, you want to come to my yacht and you want to come to my boat, let's go party. You know, because he's sowing the seed. You see, this is the important thing. He uses 20s to sow the seed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going to school, reading as a lawyer and a legal practitioner, it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
So now you get a doctorate level. You're like, yeah, this is who I am now. I mean, for law, when you're in your 30s and you are doing your doctorate, it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really big plus, you know. So what's your plan, per se?
Hey, man, I mean, that's a really... a deep question, a multifaceted question, which doesn't have a straightforward response. But I think for now, what I can say is, first of all, I'm trying to emulate my G. You know, I'm trying to emulate my boy, because what he's really done is really mind-blowing.
Wow.
It's not easy for somebody to come from Africa and get to be teaching at a university which is in the top 50 of the world, like the Technical University of Munich, you know.
Excellent.
And he's, you know, if you see the things that he's doing, you know, just very soon we're going to be in Munich attending a conference in which he's going to be one of the keynote speakers at this
age. Come on.
His students are like really, you know, like really voting for him and saying, we like this guy.
Oh, wow.
So for me, the immediate plan would be to try and really, you know, get myself into that, environment where I can also maybe teach. Because, you know, with...
You're sort of over making it.
No, I mean,
suppose it's not that deep.
This is the thing.
But it's excellent, you know?
We are also as... academics trained to be very humble, you know. But I mean, where credit is due, we must give it. And I mean, I give this guy credit. He's one of the sharpest minds, I mean, together with you, if not the sharpest minds I've ever seen. And that's the immediate plan, you know, to try and get myself in that environment. And one thing I wanted to say was, you know, the advantage, we enjoy a very peculiar advantage as lawyers that other fields don't enjoy. Because I was talking to somebody, you know, King, our colleague King, I was having a marathon call with him, one of our many marathon calls, and he was sharing with me that what he finds to be enviable from our profession is that not only can you practice law, not only can you teach law, but you can also work for organizations that are involved in these
legal
standard settings.
Exactly.
Organizations
you can also
like
consult.
You can also consult.
You know, where someone like him who is really doing something amazing at the ETH, you know, the ETH top 10 universities in the world, he really can't practice, really can't work with these organizations that are setting standards like Ericsson. So on one hand, I feel extremely blessed to be in that environment where I can make use of these chances. But you know how it is. You feel the pressure of saying, am I going to use these chances, and is it really going to work? So you know, it's really that stage where it's really do or die. But I mean, with such company, you know, I really don't feel stressed at all. You know, I'm really thinking, it's the right way, and I know it's gonna pay off sometime soon in the future.
Of course. Okay, thank you very much. And you listen to our guest right about now, so we take a short break, and the voice you've been listening to is that of the one and only Davido. We know Davido was unavailable for the past few months, and he's right about now back in the waters, back in the season. And if you want to call, the number to call is...
Die neuen Agil-Pots. Agil, nicht nur sauber, sondern rein. Immer aus der Reichweite von Kindern aufbewahren.
Tut mir leid. Und man mit sich heimlich zufrieden. After a long time of wondering, where is he and what is he doing? I'm here to confirm that the king of Afro beats is back, baby. Kibaka yana, Davido. He's back with a brand new album and I'm talking hit after hit. Thank you, Davido. Thank God.
Badass. You know. Tune into the king of songs and blues.
And this is unavailable. He calls this one unavailable. One only day.
I'm unavailable. They know they see me. 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 And I'm sorry for who.
Friday, and after this we will bless the boys for the Sunday victory. Song from Victony. So Mr. Wayne and Mr. Matiba in the studio right about now. So you shared your CV per se, your curriculum vitae with us, and so we want to talk about the journey, as our topic today talks about African students and the challenges they face. And a lot of people are listening, and we also got we got a message, and we got questions on Telegram, and questions all about, and people are asking questions, and people want to join, they want to understand this conversation, and they want to know what's up. So you told us your CVs, and you gave us how, where you are at the pinnacle of your career right now. Doctorate is no joke, and how you broke into the scene in Europe per se. So we want to know your first encounter when you got into Europe, you know, as an African, you know, a true blooded African. There's been this disparity, and there's been this, you know, I always say some Africans that were born here, they say sometimes, oh, I'm an African. I'm like, bro, I get you, but you're not really, you don't understand, you know, because
you don't understand the struggle.
Yeah, you don't understand the struggle. You were born in Europe. Of course, you go home once in 3 years or 4 years, but it's not the same. So what was your first experience like when you arrived in Europe as an African student per se?
Yeah, thank you for the question, GT. I mean, for me, it was an entire culture shock, because I went from practicing law in Zimbabwe and being a junior faculty member or junior lecturer at the Zimbabwe Ezekiel Guti University, where I was teaching civil law, I was teaching public international law, I was teaching advanced clinical skills for the fifth year students, you know, and I had to go back into this mindset of being a student, which I love. I love being a student because there's so much room for growth, you know. When you're a student, you're looking up to someone else and you're trying to develop your career, academically speaking, so that you can occupy a bigger volume or a bigger space. And so I have to tell you, GT, when I first arrived here, I was shocked. The culture shock, man. I was like, where am I? Because I'm coming from the conservative Zimbabwe and I'm out here in these German streets and people are public drinking. Public drinking doesn't exist, by the way. Oh, public shows of affection.
They're having fun. They're not public drinking, guys.
OMG, man. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
And so I think I just want to throw that in as the first thing, you know, and maybe Brian can jump in as well.
Okay.
In culture shock.
For me, it was, my predisposition is a bit more towards the negative as opposed to you, you know, and the immediate thing that hit me was I was black. You know,
wow.
Because
so
when
you never knew this, when you,
I never felt black when I was in Zimbabwe, you know, I felt as myself as Brian, you know, but when I was in Europe, that is the first moment I realized, Switzerland in particular, that before I can identify myself as Brian, I am black before I am Brian, because the society treats me as black. You know, I would get to school and when I'm just standing there having a cigarette at the University of Zurich campus, they would leave all the other students and come and ask me if I was a student, and come and ask me if I have an ID. I'd be like, what's going on? Until you realize, okay, the reason why they are just coming to me is because I look different from everyone else.
Wow.
So it took a lot of acclimatization to this reality of me being how I look before I can become Brian. And this, you know, realization sort of permeates your academic life throughout your studies in any European university, and for me particularly the University of Zurich, because I then had to realize, okay, if this is what is going on, how can I prepare against this? How can I make sure I don't suffer? You know, and we've had, I know you and me have had extended conversations about how in the end you realize there is differential treatment, you
of
know,
course.
Because of how you look and everything like that. So I think the first realization personally I had was one of disappointment. Like, why is it like this? I'm Brian. I'm the guy that everybody says is cool, but here I'm just
LL Beats.
I have a follow-up question to what you say, what you just said now. There is a study, and based on what you said, I realized I was first black before Brian, you know? So there is a study that, it said, this study said that this kind of acts, let me say, unintentionally has made black people become aggressive, unknowingly. So there is a study that said, there is like white people are just genetically afraid of black people. It's a study, because and they use the study in a movie, and because this guy was telling his daughter in that movie, he said, did you know that when white people see a black person, get scared? This is why,
man.
This is why when they see you in like
a
hidden place, or like, you know, they like get, it's a study, and he was saying this in this movie, and they get scared. They're like, oh my God, something bad is gonna happen. And it's like, so when his daughter was black in that movie, and she was telling him that she got bullied by a white person, and he couldn't understand. He was like, do you know that they are actually afraid of you just seeing you? So then also I realized that this thought process or this mentality, it kind of makes black people become aggressive. Because most times when they come to you, like you just said, they come to you, why are you smoking? And and it's like, everyone is doing this, and why do you have to come to me? You know? So why do you give this differential treatment to you? So do you think this has affected your psyche per se? It has made you kind of like pretty aggressive when someone is, maybe someone comes to you at Banoff and say, do you have weed? And all of a sudden you're like, why do you have to ask me?
Of course, man.
You know, thousands of people at Banoff, you're asking me. You know, does this make you like, you know, aggressive,
man,
when someone approaches?
Like, this is for me a really emotional issue, because one time I had a very passionate discussion with a police officer in Bern. So what happened was, you know, me being black, it's pretty difficult to afford restroom facilities, you know, at train stations, because you have to pay in the neighborhood of 2 francs, you know, to just use the bathroom. And sometimes you could use that 2 francs to
do something
else, you know. So I developed a rather African approach to dealing with my bathroom needs, which entailed that whenever I was at the Bahnhof, at the train station, I would see which train is leaving the latest, you know. So if there's a train that's leaving in 15 minutes, that's the one I'm going to get into and use the bathroom. So one time I was just innocently running to get into the train, which was leaving at that time the latest, and that was in 3 minutes, you know. I was like, oh my God, I don't want this train to go with me to another place. I have to use the bathroom quick. And before I knew it, man, like a battalion of armed police officers were surrounding me. They were asking me why I was running, and you know, the train stations in Switzerland, everyone is running, you know. So the immediate feeling I felt was, why am I being singled out of the multitudes of people that are running at the Bahnhof? But I couldn't really discuss this with them because I wanted to use the bathroom. So I was like, wait, let me use the bathroom. And this made them way more suspicious. And then they started saying, "Era drogen, he has drugs." And then they started thinking, I want to flush the drugs, you know. So then I really started talking to them and saying, you guys are racist. They were like, no, we're not racist, because when we stop 10 people at the train station, 6 people have drugs if they are black. So, but to me, what I saw this as was a confirmation of racial profiling, based on statistics. Mm-hmm. Because the fact that you stop 10 people and 6 people have drugs doesn't mean you have to stop everyone who is black because the 6 people you stopped have drugs, you know. So it for sure makes you very aggressive. It for sure makes you very angry. And sometimes when people have talked to me even in a nice way and they've come and said, hey man, can I ask some time? In my head, I'm thinking,
of course. I mean, you're worried. You're worried that these people are trying to find some kind of information out from you. Mm-hmm. And it's so sad that this is where we've come to.
It creates a really paranoid psyche somehow.
It
does. You're always on the lookout of, is this happening to me right now? Am I being abused? Am I being... And I don't think that is a very normal mental state of mind to have, especially if other members of society aren't exposed to that.
It absolutely does. And I have to say, I mean, right off the bat, to all our viewers and all our listeners, that I'm not a student in Switzerland. I am a PhD student in Munich, in Germany. And so my experience is slightly different, but the same, because the differences between Germany and Switzerland are very minimal. Mm. You know, I mean, we speak the same language. I mean, that's just one thing.
But you guys are poor than Swiss people.
Sorry, I'm going to cut you. Do you believe this? Because most people, I've watched videos on TikTok and they say Germany is more conservative. You know, in Germany, they say people really don't talk to each other. I mean, Switzerland for me, I think in terms of like, from what I've heard about Germany, I wouldn't compare. Because Germany, I heard people really don't talk to each other. Like, they just look and they stare a lot. I mean,
it depends with the region, right?
No, I mean, no? God's time has a great point. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is that Munich is one of the coldest parts of Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody keeps to themselves. It's the richest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, definitely Bavaria, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, is one of the wealthiest of the provinces of Germany.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's the Free State of Bavaria.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing place to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Clean, beautiful, organized, orderly,
Berlin,
everything.
You know, because Berlin is more free. Berlin is free,
but it's not so clean. It's not so organized.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
People are smoking on the train, on the tram. All types of crazy stuff is going on in Berlin. And I love Berlin. Don't get me wrong. But I would say that the province of Germany that is most like Switzerland is definitely Bavaria.
That's where I was coming from when
Munich.
I was saying, I guess it depends with where you are. Because if you're in Bavaria, which is where you stay, I really feel Swiss vibes.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
I really feel like nobody talks to you. You know, it's like super clean. I mean,
everybody
not Swiss
themselves.
But, you know, everybody
Swiss
keeps...
Clean.
Well,
look at you.
Yes.
Look at you.
I'm sorry you have to hear this, man.
No.
But Swiss clean is something
Swiss
else.
Swiss clean... If you've lived in other European cities, Swiss clean is next level.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
in other European countries, they dispose their trash. But in Switzerland, they separate their trash.
Man, in Switzerland,
we separate our trash too in Munich.
But
so.
You don't pay for it.